along with Chandavega, there were as many female Gandharvis as there were soldiers, and all of them repetitively plundered all the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. Let's say after me, along with Chandavega, there were as many female Gandharvis as there were soldiers, and all of them repetitively plundered all the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The days have been compared to the soldiers of Chandavega. Night is generally a time for sex enjoyment. Days are considered to be white and nights are considered to be black. Or, from another point of view, there are two kinds of nights, black nights and white nights. All these days and nights combined to pass away our span of life and everything we manufacture for sense gratification. Material activity means manufacturing things for sense gratification. Scientists are conducting research to find out how we can satisfy our senses more and more elaborately. In this Kali Yuga, the demoniac mentality is employed in manufacturing various machines to facilitate the process of sense gratification. There are so many machines for ordinary household activities. There are machines for washing dishes, cleaning the floor, shaving, clipping hair. Today everything is done by machine. All these facilities for sense gratification are described in this verse as sarvakama vinirmitam, the time factor, however, is so strong that not only is our span of life being expended, but all the machines and facilities for sense gratification are deteriorating. Therefore, in this verse, the word vilumpanti, plundering, is used. Everything is being plundered from the very beginning of our lives. This plundering of our possessions and lifespan begins with the day of our birth. One day will come when death will finish everything, and the living entity will have to enter another body to begin another chapter of life and again begin the cycle of material sense gratification. Prahlad Maharaj describes this process as punapunascharavitacharavananam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. Materialistic life means chewing the chewed again and again. The central point of material life is sense gratification. In different types of bodies, the living entity enjoys various senses and through creating various types of facilities, he chews the chewed. Whether we squeeze sugar out of the sugar cane with our teeth or a machine, the result is the same sugar cane juice. We may discover many ways to squeeze the juice out of the sugar cane, but the result is the same. So, the allegory of King Paranjana, the embodied soul, is continuing. So, in the last text, Narada Muni said, O king, in Gandharva Loka, there's a king named Chandavega. Anybody remember what Chandavega means? Yeah, very swiftly passing away. Under him there are 360 very powerful Gandharva soldiers. Along with Chandavega were as many female Gandharvis as there were soldiers, and all of them repetitively plundered all the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. So, the city of King Paranjana, that is to say, the body of the embodied living being, is undergoing siege or being attacked by this Chandavega, the king, with his soldiers. So Chandavega, very swiftly passing away, represents the force of time. And his 360 soldiers, his 360 days of the year, are attacking the king. And now we find out they're also their consorts, female Gandharvas. The soldiers represent the day and they represent night. It says in the text, Sita Sita, white and black. So Prabhupada says the days are white and the nights are black. That's one way to read it. Or the other way is there are white nights and black nights. That is to say, fortnight when the moon is waning. Those are black, called black nights. And when the moon is waxing, those are called white nights. So there are black and white nights. Night is specifically mentioned as Maitunya, as sexual companions for the soldiers, consorts, because he says night is meant for generally the time for sexual enjoyment. These here, day and night, that are spent in material enjoyment are mentioned here, are put forward here as soldiers who are attacking the city. So we should understand that as the living entity enjoys in the material world, all the time, from the very beginning, is being attacked by the force of time. And the day spent in sense gratification and the night spent in sense gratification, both of them are actually, they're not friendly allies at all. They're destroyers of his life. So the living entity in the material world is under the grip and control of the time factor. On that time factor, the three modes of material nature are activating, and he's seeking out sense enjoyment. So it's time which destroys him eventually. So, of course, what people have done in the material world is, in attempting to enjoy, they've actually declared war on time. They're trying to stop time. People are aware of the power of the time factor to destroy everything. And so they're trying various methods to try to escape the ravages and the devastation of time without much success. Now people see that over the course of time they're getting old, decrepit, so they try very hard to forestall this encroachment of bodily decrepitude by various methods. They're dieting like crazy, undergoing forms of cosmetic surgery, and just using cosmetics and hair dye and so many things like that. What men do to try to forestall or cure baldness is well known. All these things that are the ravages of time, people are undergoing trying to overcome it. They reproduce also. That's another way. One is growing old, but you create little replicas of yourself running around again and live through them vicariously. And so that way, by breeding new human beings, you've conquered time. Your name will continue. Your dynasty will go on in spite of the ravages of old age. But of course, you watch your children grow old too. Something that else that happens. They're in the grip of time factor. Actually, all you can do is hand over more hostages to time. You can't escape. So many methods are there by which people seek their kind of immortality, their freedom from this attack. But they've declared war on time, and they can't win. As long as one is a sense enjoyer in this material world, his body will be plundered by these soldiers of Chandavega. And you can't get around it. This plundering process goes on all the time. It is only by devotional service that one escapes from the ravages of the time factor. So time is unconquerable. Yet everyone is trying to conquer. They can't help but try to find some way. Because what happens by the time factor is that when it's finished, you have nothing left. Time rolls on. It smashes you. It smashes all your work. It smashes your name. It smashes your children. It smashes your dynasty. It smashes your monuments. It makes even the history books, which you have worked so hard to get your name in, even those decay and fall. And ultimately, there's nothing left. It's all obliterated completely. So then you think, what does it all mean? Why am I living? What is this effort? If everything I do turns out it's as though, in the end, I never existed. So what significance is there to my life? And that's the problem. As soon as you're trying to establish something worthwhile, you're trying to achieve something in the material sphere, you're doomed, because what worthwhile means that it's lasting, it's permanent, it's of value, it's real, it's not unreal. And everything done in the material world is unreal because it comes and it goes. It exists for a little while like some wisp of smoke and fog, and then it's blown away. They're like bubbles, like foam in the ocean. It comes and it goes. So we are in this difficult situation. And nobody can achieve any meaning to their existence because of this plundering effect of time. It destroys whatever sensual happiness they have, and whatever else they achieve also is plundered. So this is the difficulty. They're fighting time, and yet time is so powerful, it's inconquerable. So this everyone has known for a long time. But they don't know how to get rid of the problem. They don't know what to do. The actual most powerful representation of time is actually in the Bhagavad Gita, where we find out why time is so powerful, because it is a form of Krishna. When Arjuna saw the universal form on the battlefield, not only did he see all of space condensed in front of him, but also all of time. So that was called the Kala Rupa, the Lord's form as time or devastation. So this is what he sees. I'll read this. We can understand this is how he says to he addresses the Lord. Arjuna says, O mighty armed one, all the planets with their demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs, and bellies, and your many terrible teeth. And as they are disturbed, so am I. O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouths and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the world, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance, seeing thus your blazing, death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions, I am bewildered. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, and Karna, and our chief soldiers also, are rushing into your fearful mouths, and some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. So he's seeing the outcome of the Battle of Kurukshetra. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, all their allies, and even people like Bhishma. Bhishma is unconquerable. But he sees Bhishma also being devoured. So he understands that this devastation is going to take place. As the many waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths. I see all people, now everyone, not just the battlefield, but everybody. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence, you are manifest with terrible, scorching rays. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. So Krishna answers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. So there he announces his mission. Kalosmi lokashaya krit. I am time, the destroyer of the worlds. And Prabhupada says in the purport, although Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was puzzled by the various forms exhibited by Krishna. Therefore, he asked further about the actual mission of this devastating force. It is written in the Vedas that the Supreme Truth destroys everything, even the Brahmanas, as stated in the Katha Upanishad 1:2:25, Yasya Brahma Shashatram Cha Ube Bhavata Odana Mnitju Yasyo Pase Chanam Ka Ita Veda Yatra Saha. Eventually, all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. This form of the Supreme Lord is the all-devouring giant, and here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. except for the Pandavas, everyone who was present on that battlefield would be devoured by him, Krishna. Prabhupada ends the purport. He says, time is destruction, and all manifestations are to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is the law of nature. So one can see how it is impossible to conquer time, because time is Krishna. He is death, and that here he is the Kala Rupa, this devastating feature that we see in material nature as it plunders everybody. So one cannot escape time except by surrendering voluntarily to Krishna. Actually, everyone is surrendered to Krishna. Everybody pouring into the mouths of the universal form and being chopped up by his teeth, that is a process of surrender also. Every time we are conquered by material nature, we're surrendering to Krishna. We may be so puffed up, we may build our brass monuments and our granite mausoleums and whatever else, but we all surrender to Krishna. Because time just topples everything that we build. And nothing can hold forth against it. So everyone surrenders to Krishna. We don't have the choice not to surrender to Krishna. But if we voluntarily surrender, then we escape this fate in the material world. So that's why, as I mentioned yesterday, that both by the rising and the setting of the sun, the life of those people who spend their time in sense gratification is diminished. But those devotees who are absorbed in hearing about Krishna are not affected. Because devotional service means that one gets taken, removed. Prabhupada describes this where Krishna says that his energy is very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So just you look, every single person in this world is trying somehow or other to conquer time. That's they've got some enterprise going by which they can try to escape or hold off time and change and destruction. You can't help it. We can't help it because we're eternal beings. And this material energy is anomalous. It isn't right. We feel that we protest against this this feature of things which destroys our energy, our youth, our good looks, our friends, our relations, our enterprises. Everything is going. We don't like it at all. So we're trying to do something to conquer it. But nobody can conquer it. So it's very, very, very strong. Whether through here, so many manufactured goods, that's also trying to conquer time. People are even, they have big, giant, body-sized toothbrush holders. They pump full of nitrogen, super-cooled nitrogen gas, and people are frozen in there so that they can be revived later on when medical science is advanced. Walt Disney's like that. He's cryogenetic freezing. I mean, people are, so many efforts are there to try to stave it off. People are even gotten to the point now where, medical science gets pretty gruesome when you start talking about transplants, and now a lot of fetal tissue is starting to be used to replace diminishing functions. And all those aborted babies, they get their tissues get transplanted into various people. You can see the possibilities. So, but people will do anything like this, but none of them escape all their devices and efforts and everything. None of them escape. So it's very difficult to get beyond this material nature. Everyone gets crushed. But Krishna says, one who is surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. And Prabhupada explains in the purport how this happens. Krishna calls off material nature. He says, this is my devotee, leave him alone. So a devotee who enters into the spiritual nature is not at all distressed by the activities of time. He becomes immune. And actually, the advancement of old age to a devotee is not experienced in the same way as a materialist. Because he experiences the onset of old age, a materialist says, oh, here's the harbinger of death. This is what upsets people when a guy combs his hair and he sees all the hair coming out. It's not just that he's losing hair. He sees death in those hairs that are falling out. Oh, yes, sure he does. That's these signs, these symptoms. So this all show this is mortality. Look, my very body is falling apart. My hairs are coming out. My teeth are coming out. This is me, and it's just coming to pieces. I'm something that can be destroyed, that can be ripped apart in so many interesting ways by the forces of material nature. That's the horror of it all. And people actually think by getting hair transplants or something, they're actually conquering nature. They just so long as they have this little illusion or fantasy. But a devotee, the same symptoms for a devotee, they're impetus for his engagement in the process of eternal life. He doesn't experience death in the same way either. Just like here in this 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there are two experiences of Krishna. Arjuna has the experience of Krishna as the Kala Rupa, but later on he has the experience of Krishna in his two-handed form. That's the one for the devotees. And he doesn't undergo this terrible course that everyone else undergoes. So everybody has to surrender to Krishna. Everybody else goes back to Krishna. But how? That's the choice. So voluntarily we accept our position as subordinate and we enter into the internal potency by the performance of devotional service, then we are immune from this effect of time. Does not at all hurt a devotee. Because if we're absorbed in Krishna's service, we are absorbed in something that is not disturbed under any condition. Devotional service can go on under any condition. Nothing can stop it. And whatever relationships we have formed in devotional service, whatever activity we do, all those things are eternal. So you don't lose anything, you don't leave anything, you don't go away from anything. Because what we have gained in Krishna consciousness is our eternal gain. The activities of Krishna consciousness are eternal activities. We are doing now what we are doing, will be doing in the spiritual world. You may appreciate it a little more than you appreciate it now. But it's the same activity in making garlands. And Bhaktivinoda has a song where he describes how he sat down under the direction of a gopi and made a garland, garlands for Radha and Krishna. And he stood shyly in a distance while that gopi took up and he watched while his garlands were offered to them. This is what is going on in the spiritual world. Watched in ecstasy. Oh, who made this nice garland? These are the activities of the spiritual world. You make a laddu for Krishna, he'll come and take it right from your hand. And all these things are actually going on here. There's no difference. If we can appreciate, if we can enter fully into the activities of devotional service, we can also appreciate their transcendental and eternal quality. So in this way, a devotee, by engaging fully with his senses in devotional service, merges entirely into transcendence. And everything, the devotee's senses, the tools or instruments that he uses, the objects that he's engaged with, the place that he's engaged in, all these things become Brahman. They become spiritual. And so not at all affected by the Chandavega and his soldiers and their consorts. Not at all affected. So this is actually what we're meant to do. Otherwise, what people are trying to do in the material world is get kind of cheap substitutes for Krishna consciousness, trying to somehow or other go on with their sense gratification and yet hold off the rage of time. And they can't. Because that sense gratification is destroying them. So it's described, sense gratification is described as poison. It's poison because it kills us. Because of sense gratification, we become subjected to destruction by the forces of time. It forces us to identify ourselves with the material body, engage in material activities, and therefore hand ourselves over as hostage violence at the hands of material nature. And it is violent because everything is destroyed. Everyone is being killed. This violence is going on right now. When we see these little these devastations that take place at the time of war, that's it's normal. It's not that somebody dies who wasn't going to die anyway. They all die. Just the action has been speeded up a little bit and brought out into the open a little more visibly. So the course of life in this material world is horrible. And if you see it like Arjuna sees it, you almost become crazy because it's unbearable. He can't bear to see it anymore. He becomes terrified. To see this destruction that's going on around us. So we're in this ocean of destruction, but we can get out by the activities of Krishna consciousness, by engaging in the process of devotional service. So that should be our business. Otherwise, we're doomed. It's either Krishna consciousness or death. So we should treat it like this, that it's a matter of life or death. Because the time that we have is very, very valuable to be used in Krishna service. And if we're not using it in Krishna service, we're killing ourselves. So many people are doing like that, even though they know about Krishna, they know about Krishna consciousness, they know about the prescribed regulations of devotional service, still they're using their time in sense gratification, not in intense devotional service. So that they're wasting
their human form of life. And it happens. The time of death comes. You're always surprised that it happens so soon. Because it's something we're not prepared for. What do? We think we can put it off. But it comes, and we don't know when it comes. And so we're advised not to waste our time. Prabhupada urges again and again and again to utilize every minute, every second in Krishna consciousness. And so that absorption is required for us. Otherwise, we'll have to undergo this process here that's being described of being plundered, having our bodies plundered by this Chandavega and his vicious soldiers. So we'll see what happens. That'll be next. Stay tuned. Any questions or comments? Yeah. Well, it's difficult because you have to hear. You have to understand what's going on. You have to engage in the process of devotional service. And the people given up engaging in the process of devotional service, then you have to learn the hard way. I suspect many of the people who became devotees and then left, or engaging in semi-devotees or various forms of sense gratification, when they reach their 50s and 60s, they'll find a renewed interest in Krishna consciousness, because they'll understand at last, by experience, how horrible material life is. But then they'll find it's very difficult at the age of 50 or 60 to begin to take up Krishna consciousness. And all that time, because it's not easy to surrender to Krishna, we're practicing every day. And it's not easy to surrender to Krishna. And we need all the time we can get to do this. We could, in principle, surrender to Krishna instantly at once, and you could be just like Maharaj Kadvanga. He just had a few minutes, but he surrendered to Krishna because he knew he was going to die. But that's rare. So when we become, say, 60 years old, and we understand I have no future in this material world, that my time, I've used up my life, and there's going to be no more big surprises around the corner, and that my powers, as far as my senses are diminished, and the sense objects are no longer have their potency, and everything is falling apart, and whatever I've achieved. Going to achieve, whatever I'm going to achieve, I've done it. And it's not much after all that. It wasn't worth it. Now let me engage in devotional service. But now I'm, 65 years old. And how much time do I have? And it's really hard to get up in the morning. I'm not trained anymore. I don't have training. So it's very difficult. Then you realize that, oh, I've wasted so much time. All this time I could have been doing something valuable, something worthwhile. And instead I spent it making money. And where's my money gone? I mean, yesterday the stock market fell 500 points. You just get wiped out. That's not eternal. It's temporary. Yeah. You have to understand these things. Yeah. Has to be the same program, right? Just preach Krishna consciousness. Except they've already heard it, so they don't want to hear. That's a little difficult. I already know this. Like hell they know it, but they think they I already know this. Well, try. Well, what else other than going to people and try to talk to them? How to preach Krishna consciousness. Yeah, depends. What you usually want friends for what you enjoy. So sometimes people are reluctant to make friends unless there's some sense gratification involved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. There aren't any conditioned souls in the spiritual world. You just preach to the devotees. But there's still preaching is essentially glorification of Krishna, so that goes on all the time. And also Sankirtan goes on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's there. Well, my understanding is that in Goloka Vrindavan, on Krishna Loka planet, there's also Swetadvipa, Mayapur, Navadvipa. That's also there, and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are also taking place. Lord Chaitanya Nityananda Dvaita.
And that those devotees who are followers of Lord Chaitanya simultaneously participate in Radha Krishna pastimes and also Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. That's how you just what happens. Yeah, sure. Everything's hard to understand about the spiritual world. Yeah. Partially, of course, to understand what Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are like, everybody's absorbed in Radha and Krishna. And they're going...